Post-Harlan Monologics, number 00075. Recorded on March 15, 2024. Production location, Post, Harlan, Texas. Chapter 75. Bones of Contention, Part 3. Bones of Contention, Part 3. Chapter 75.
The opinions of Maverick 88 are not necessarily the opinions of Maverick 88. Sensitive content warning. Viewer discretion is advised.
Now, buckle up. You are on the runaway train of thought. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, the one, the only, Maverick 88. This monologue is continued from the previous episode, Chapter 00074, Bones of Contention, Part 2. And now, the conclusion of the Bones of Contention series.
So for most, a job is just a job. But for some, the job is life itself. That's a sad state of affairs for certain types of people in this world, isn't it? It's back-ass words, but it is what it is. Many of us are dealing with that kind of person currently. I would say most of us are not. Now, what do I mean? I mean, working under the lordship of workplace tyrants, of like workplace bullies. You ever get bullied in the workplace? You hear a lot of about kids and bullying and things like that. Like bullying and childhood, that's kind of a part of making your bones in the world. There's lessons learned in the process as a bully and as somebody who's being bullied. But when you get into this adult realm, into the workplace arena, and bullying is occurring there, it's a different matter altogether. Because what's on the line at this point is your living, right? Your living. We take jobs to earn a dollar, and we use that dollar in order to pay our way and pay our family's way, our children's way. It is sacrilege to mess with that. In our society, earning your wages and paying your way is a holy right. Nobody wants to have to work their life away. But so many, the large majority, do. They are willing to do that. They are willing to invest themselves into this world, come what may. It is a sacrifice, and it is not to be messed with. But yet, you have certain people with certain psychological issues, and I promise you it's this, right? That just must mess with others. I think of another Leonard Skinner song, A Line, and in fact, it's a song that reminds me almost perfectly of my zero-ith wife, right? You got first, second, third wives, people, you know? I got a zero wife. And what I mean by that is I was engaged to this person before I was ever married otherwise. And this person I was engaged, we never made it to the altar, right? She was well, too much like me. Let's just put it that way. She was too much like me. She was drunken pig. She was flighty, just generally wayward, right? And I don't want to get into the whole story of it all, but she basically got shit-faced at our engagement party, right? A party thrown for us where a couple hundred people showed up, and I caught her sucking face in the kitchen with a friend of mine after she had already, like, thrown up all over the living room and knocked over a Christmas tree and half a drum set, you know, stumbling drunk, right? That was a marriage that was made in hell, and it's best that it never happened. That was the closest thing I had to a high school sweetheart, the way my life was, right? We were on again, off again for a few years there, and after that, we were off again. But anyway, there's this song that when I hear it, it reminds me of her, which is not a great thing, but the song is a great song. Another Leonard Skinner song. This one's called One More Time. And in that song, and I bring that one up, like I'm indulging in Leonard Skinner here, just because there's a particular line in that song that goes, it seems to make you feel happy when you've hurt someone, right? What kind of asshole person is like that? I mean, I know you know people like that. You've known people like that in your lifetime. But what kind of asshole are you to find happiness, to take pleasure in the woe of others, especially when you can create that woe of others, right? And this is what I'm talking about. You get this in the workplace, right? It is sacrilege to mess with people's jobs, to mess with people's living, to mess with people's home life and family. And yet the people who do it seem to take great pleasure in doing it. That is wicked. That is evil, right? And I had a person here, right, a Christian person on this job, describe the management here as the devil, right? And when I hear that kind of talk from somebody who I know has the faith, right? Somebody I know has a faith. You don't just go calling people randomly the devil, right? You don't do that kind of thing for dramatics. You do that when you feel it in your bones, right? When you just know it to be true. And I take that very seriously, and I had to take a good hard look at this situation. And, you know, from that time forward, so many people have come to me, so many disgruntled employees, and that's a funny word, disgruntled. I'll probably talk about that, right? Have come up to me, and I don't even know the why of it all. I mean, they see me locking horns and standing toe-to-toe, you know. I have backbone. I will defend myself. I will be outspoken. I will spend time in the doghouse. I'll take my hits, right? And generally, with Christ standing beside me, it works out in my favor every time. Again, lemonade out of lemons. It's just the way of the world when you're a person of the faith, right? So many people have been coming up to me over the past few months with their gripes, with their stories, with their tales of woe, how they've been retaliated against, how they're being picked on, how they're being bullied, right? How they're having their liberty ripped out from them, how they're having their pay. Oh my God, this one story, this is horrible. Listen to this. I got to tell it, man. I hate to have to, but it's the truth of the matter. In your situation now, you got a management versus labor. There's union involved. There's rules. There's things that go by. Sometimes, as an employee, you have to call out sick. You get sick, you know, and you're sick, and you call out. And the way I remember hearing this anyway, I'm going to get the gist of it right. There may be some details that are incorrect, but the idea of the whole thing is right, right? A guy called out, right? He called out sick. And when he came back in 2 days later or whatever it was, he was told that he was required to provide documentation. And he didn't go to a doctor or anything. He didn't have any documentation for it. So what this manager did was withhold the guy's sick day pay, his sick leave pay, and make him fight for it through the union. Now, here's the problem. First of all, that sucks, right? That sucks. But here's what happened. She ended up in her glee over hurting someone, right? And that someone ends up being not only the person, but the spouse, the children, right? The household hurt a lot of people on down the line. Right? A day's pay matters, right? And it really matters in this person's situation. I know some of the details of this person's life, right? Here's the kicker, right? This boss who did that, what I consider heinous act, told another employee, a labor side employee, that for some reason had gained her trust and confidence in these kind of conversations, that she did what she did. She withhold that pay, knowing that eventually she will lose a union grievance over it and the guy will get his pay. But her experience told her it would take a solid year for that to happen. So that guy's going to have his pay withheld for a whole year, going through the whole legal process. This person knowingly did that, knowing she's in the wrong, knowing she's going to lose the case, but knowing she's going to stick it to this guy for a whole year. Why? Because he unfortunately was sick. Right? He was unfortunately sick. So you think he's a disgruntled employee? And you think she's a bully, petty, vindictive, tyrant manager? This is the scenario here. Now you take that guy. I know personally in the area of like 20, 25 people, I don't have an accurate count, who have come to me in confidence in these past few months. You're talking about a place, I don't know how many employees are in here, 60? Maybe 50? Something like that. Right? It's got to be 35. 50. Let's just say there's 60. Almost half of them have come to me in confidence with their gripes. And then when I talk to somebody else who's kind of in the know, right? And I don't want to give any details about any clues about this person away. But somebody who's in the know about things, I said, you know, it's obvious to me at least half this place is disgruntled. And it's creating this tension, this air of uneasiness, this bitterness. It's a horrible place to come to every day. And this person turns around and tells me, no, you say half. It's more like three quarters, probably more than that. So it's like literally almost the entire staff is under this cloud, under this storm of... well, like a bully, petty, vindictive tyranny. Sorry, disgruntled. I don't want to talk about the word disgruntled. Get back to that. Disgruntled, a funny word to me, a funny word. I never really thought much of it. There's many words that we pick up along the way. We kind of just parrot as kids, parrot as young adults. You hear it and you see the context and the inflection, the way it's used in a sentence to describe something, and you kind of sort of get the gist of it without really contemplating the word for all its etymology and everything, like really breaking down the word. For me, disgruntled is one of them. I've always heard it. It's always a disgruntled employee, right? A disgruntled employee, you know, arrived at the workplace with a shotgun and went ape shit on everybody, you know, went to jail for the rest of his life. Disgruntled. So you just, obviously, you know, it's somebody who's like an unhappy worker. Disgruntled equals some kind of unhappiness, discontentedness. And that is actually true. But look at the word, disgruntled. The core of the word, the root of it is grunt, right? Grunt. So somebody has had their grunt dissed, dissled. Which means you have expended a grunt like you would think, like the sound a pig makes, you know, it's a pig grunts, and we grunt as we complain, as we piss and moan about our circumstance, right? That comes out like to highfalutin people, like slave masters on a plantation, like managers in a company, you get the idea. People in charge, right? Like we're pigs at a trough. The rest of it, we're like pigs that we just grunt all the time. We're just always complaining. But that's what it's like. It's a complaint. It's a grievance, right? It's a grievance. And when you're disgruntled, you have exhorted a grunt. you have made your dissatisfaction, your discontentedness known. Once you have done that, once you have revealed yourself to be of that mindset, you have entered into the category of disgruntled, right? And I'm in a workplace now where, like I said, I have heard by somebody who would know, because I'm the last to know anything, right? By somebody who would know that upwards of 75% or more of the entire staff is currently disgruntled in this situation. That's terrible. The upside is, the silver lining is, it's not personal with me, but I get it too. And I'm also disgruntled. I have no problem admitting that. I mean, it's a natural, normal reaction to what's going on around here. It's a horrible thing. Just a terrible workplace atmosphere. Much frustration and much uncertainty and much hate. You know, it's surprising how easily you can open a person's can of worms. Simple greetings like, yo, how's it going? Don't get me started, right? The unhappiness is right at the surface, right on the tip of everybody's tongue, like all day, every day. It's very easy to get into a conversation of grievance with people in this matter. This really sucks. It's, you know, prayers expended every day. Grunts go, but, you know, I'm praying too. And not only do I pray, you know, for myself, my own protection, safety, all that kind of stuff, sanity, whatever. I pray for that of, like I said, so 20, 25 people. I've got this list going, people who I know are disgruntled, having a hard time here. And maybe a little bit more on that later as we go. So one more bone idiom, okay? We're talking about bone idioms. A bone of contention, and it's all related to this. So this is the most recent thing that's happened to me involving this work situation. Last weekend, my weekend was cut in half. Why? Because I was slapped with an overtime mandate. A mandate. I hate that word. You can never apply that word to me. It's going to make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. It's going to make me livid. It's going to make me on the verge of violence. A mandate is a straight-up assault against my liberty, right? What happened was, I was told on a Thursday that I was going to work on Saturday. There was no discussion. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. I was coming in to work on Saturday. I said, oh, well, what am I supposed to do when I come in? You know, because what I was told was that I needed to get caught up on some things. Well, what do I need to get caught up on? See, I feel very confidently that I'm caught up. Like, this place is ship shape. It's as good as it gets. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing battle. It's never perfect, but it's as good as it gets. I come to work every day. This is another thing I want to get to about me as an employee, right? That I overlook, that I'm just not down with, that I'm not cognizant of. And I'll get to that probably. But I was mandated to come and work overtime to get caught up. And I was really pissed. You know, I was really, really pissed. I had to, like, go get myself aside. I had to get with Jesus and like, pray for my peace to be restored to me before I did something stupid, something emotional, right? I don't like to get emotionally charged like that. You know, I'm calling the union representative. I'm not getting any kind of solace out of that at all. Like, I'm finding out that, yeah, that person could just do that whenever. I'm like, what? Wait a minute, my job is Monday through Friday at this time to that time. I don't see how I could be mandated to come in on my days off. Isn't there an agreement that this is the parameters of my job? And if there's a mandate, isn't there some kind of protocol that substantiates the mandate? And then if there is a mandate and there is a protocol and it is all substantiated, isn't there limitations on how many days can be mandated? And the way the union contract reads, apparently, suggests to me that this person can make me work 7 days a week from now till kingdom come. No break ever. And that is just horrifying. When you got a bad person like that, with that kind of power over my life, that she would take even one Saturday away from me. One single Saturday away from me. Is like right to the edge of unforgivable. I really have to work hard to push myself to get over that. That alone. This could get much worse very quickly. So I'm reaching out to the union, getting no satisfaction. I actually sent a text message to one of my priests, the one who I felt would be immediately available. There's two of them to go to. They're both great. And this guy I talked about before, when it comes to my health, right? It was his prayers that I know that like cured me and made me able to take part in the Lenten fast, right? Because of the diabetes and everything like that. So I trust this guy's prayers. I trust his prayers like I trust my prayers. His are probably better than mine, but mine are pretty damn good, right? I'm okay. God has been very responsive to me. We're pretty tight, you know. I mess up. I do my share of messing up. But as far as that relationship goes, I'll never be perfect. I'm a stupid man all day, every day, right? I have my moments, but generally speaking, I'll never live up to the standards that God has. But thank God, God is God, and God is love, and God is the way God is about it all, you know? He's very happy for us to try. Thankfully. And my prayers were about just restoring the peace, like I said before. And I get the peace restored to me. The emotionalism goes away. And then, you know, when that peace landed on me, and it does, it's like, it's a guarantee, you know? I pray for peace, I'll get that. And it's a way that I actually get through life without really screwing things up. You know, I rely on that peace. And sometimes it just comes with a thud. I go from highly charged, emotional, to just solace in one fell swoop. And there's something magical happens in the whole wake of that transition. And in this case, there was just a nudging, right? That unspoken voice of God who was bringing me peace, explaining to me that this needs to be so. You don't have to like it. It's got to happen. I want this to happen. And when it does happen, somewhere in the middle of the day, you're going to know why it happened. What the actual impetus for it was. And then me, of course, knowing God. And I mentioned probably a couple of times by now, how God makes lemonade out of lemons. He's going to take this situation because he's got his own purpose, dude. His purpose wasn't for me to know why this happened. That was just part of the deal. I was going to know. Somebody was going to tell me the why of it all. But then God's purpose comes later. And it comes in waves, you know. Little here, little there. God does things with the horrible shit that happens in our lives and makes our lives better as a result of it. And I know this. My experience tells me this, and I came to the calm, and I got ready for it. I went to work Friday. I was still pissed off. It was hard to get through the day. You know, it was a challenge maintaining peace. The emotions kept jumping out. But I had the voice of God in me. I had my call to service set up. I was coming into work on Saturday, like it or not, like God said, and I'll see what happens, right? I'll see what happens as a result of it. So I did it. I went to work on the Saturday. I was highly charged. I was very pissed about being there, and I was just stomping around the place. I was just stomping around. But I worked, and I worked hard. I gave it a full day, right? I gave it a full day. And right halfway through the day, just like I was expecting, but in a very unexpected manner, right? I was off in a break room. I was washing windows. Somebody came up behind me and explained to me, hey, it didn't occur to me when I saw you earlier that you're here on your off day. what the hell is that, right? And I'm like, yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know, because here's a kicker of it. Before I got to this moment, I finally got the list of things to do, right, that I needed to get, quote unquote, caught up on. And the list was 90% things that I did just the day before, right? Saturday, I'm supposed to do what I just did on Friday and what I had scheduled to do on the next business day, which was the Monday to follow. There was nothing on that list that had anything to do with getting caught up on. They changed the tone of it to, quote unquote, deep cleaning, right? Not fixing anything or anything like that. Deep cleaning. As if I don't, right? As if I don't clean. There was only two things on there that I don't normally do that I do when I'm asked to do it, right? One was the dust on some of the blinds in the building. Just need to be vacuumed off. I mean, you don't know to do that until you know to do that. That's just the way dust is. You don't just dust and dust and dust. You dust when you see it, and you don't see it until it's all there, right? The dusting, I think, with the blinds, I think took an hour's worth of time, but it was like many blinds throughout the building, right? And the rest of it was cleaning out refrigerators and microwaves, which is not really in my schedule to do at all. But every time I've done it within the confines of my regular schedule. In fact, anything I've ever done on the job has been within the confines of my regular schedule, because I've never been mandated overtime before. This has never happened to me 8 years on the job. In fact, in my entire life, I've only been called to work on weekends, I think, twice. And both times, it was just like this. It was bullshit. You know, the first time, holy shit, my brother had tickets to a Giants playoffs game, 1990. They won the Super Bowl that year. Their first round in the playoffs, which I believe was the second round, they didn't play the wild card round. They played the Chicago Bears at home, Giants Stadium. We were all humongous Giants fans, right? Great time. Parcells and Lawrence Taylor. Some of the great days, you know, in the history of that organization. My brother scored two tickets to a playoff game at Giants Stadium. You got to understand about Giants Stadium. And that includes the New York Jets games, too. Both teams, both New York teams playing in that place then and even now. Might even be worse now. The Jets had like a 7-year waiting list on season tickets. The Giants had like a 20-year waiting list. And every seat in the house was season tickets. You didn't just walk up to the ticket window and buy tickets. There was no cheap nosebleeds available. Every ticket was accounted for. So you kind of got lucky when you got tickets to a game. In the regular season, you know, they're not doing so good. People will start selling their tickets off to try to recoup some of the money that they put out. If they're doing good, they don't give them away, right? So how my brother got these tickets, I have no idea. I have no idea at all, but he got them. And he said, brother, you're coming with me. We're going to this damn playoff game. I was like, oh, yeah. That's when I got called into work, on a Sunday, on a Sunday. Never in my life have I been to a postseason NFL game. Not that I give a shit now, but there was a time in my life that that really mattered. A long time in my life that that really mattered. I go into work on that Sunday. I did nothing. They had nothing for me to do. I had no reason to be there. It can only have been some kind of petty spite from another BIC. That's an acronym, bitch in charge, right? You like acronyms if you're like Joe corporate person or Joe federal person or Joe military person. You know what I mean? The acronyms BIC. There's one for you. When there was no work to do and there was evidently no work to do, I said, cut me off. I could go to my in-laws who were in the same town and catch the game on TV. Nope, you got to stay. Why? Why? For torment. That's all. I couldn't get, I was on the fourth floor of a headquarters of a bank, an SNL that failed, right? So it wasn't even worth anything to me. I couldn't get radio stations in. You didn't have cell phones back then. It's 1990, right? No cell phones, no nothing. And that was it. I wasn't even able to hear the game. I wasn't able to watch the game. Obviously couldn't attend the game. And then, right, I got cut loose of, I don't know, about 4 or 5 hours into the day. And I was able to, like, get to my in-laws about halfway through the third quarter. by then, the Giants ended up winning the game, like 30-3 or 33-3 or something like that. It was a massive blowout, right? Bill Parcells' Giants kicked the shit out of Mike Ditka's Bears for the whole world to see. It was a glorious moment, and I couldn't be there. And when I got to see it on TV, it was already like 27-3 or something like that. The game was over. I missed everything. I missed everything that happened that mattered. I was so pissed off. And that reverberates through my life. And when somebody tells me to come and work on the weekend, that's the first thing I think of. So I come into here not knowing what I'm even supposed to do, why I'm even here. And when I got the list of things and I looked at it, I just did 90% of this shit yesterday. And the other couple of things that I didn't do just yesterday, I could have done yesterday if I knew you needed them done. And then the same 90% of shit I'm going to do in 2 days anyhow. What am I doing here? So I'm in this break room and I'm doing the windows and everything. And this person comes up behind me and starts this conversation about, hey, what are you doing here on a Saturday? I don't know. And you know what I was told? I was told, well, that's what this person does. It's retaliation. Did you call out sick lately? And I was like, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, just last week I was out a couple of days. There you go. See, I'm kind of on my island. I'm the one guy that does the job that I do, the maintenance guy here. And everybody else does all this other stuff, you know. And I'm not involved. Like I said, I'm kind of aloof, set apart. So I was informed that, like, this whole, you know, the core of the staff, most of the people that work in this place, you're talking 40, 45 people probably. They all know, they all get that treatment. They call out sick, they're mandated to work on an off day to make up for it. With this manager, it's basically a given with them. And it's a retaliation, it's a payback. Why it hasn't happened before and what's preventing it from happening again, I don't know. But it was bullshit. There was no reason for me to be here. So I did it, you know what I mean? I showed up like I was supposed to, did what God had me to do, and then now here comes the lemonade out of all those lemons, right? The lemonade out of all the lemons. Some of the good things that come out of it. First and foremost, all right, it was an extra day pay. It was actually a time and a half pay. And, you know, I've been contemplating buying a combat shotgun, right? Because that's what a disgruntled employee really needs, right? But I have been for a while. I am Maverick 88, after all. Maverick 88, in case you don't know, is kind of like a bottom shelf shotgun. It's a security shotgun, bottom shelf, offering from Mossberg out of Connecticut, right? Company in Connecticut. But they're very well known for their shotguns. The excellent gun manufacturer. They've got a next class of shotguns, they call their 500 series, and within the 500 series, they got a 590 series, and the 590 series is actually designated for a combat shotgun, and is actually used by the Marine Corps, the Army, a lot of law enforcement across the company, right? And in that 590 series, you kind of got like the actual elevated version of it, the A1, right? Which is strictly the one that's used by the military. It's built to a higher standard, greater materials, thicker barrel, metal everything instead of plastic some things. You know, but the difference between like the basic Mossberg 500 and a 590 A1 can be $300-$400, right? To settle on just a plain Mossberg 590 series without the A1, a lesser version than the actual military version, you've got generally around a $200 swing, you know? So my overtime covered that swing, and it justified me going for the brass ring and getting the shotgun that I really wanted to get, right? It was the extra money that made that happen. So this weekend, this Saturday, God willing, if I'm not being mandated to work, I'll be going down to a pawn shop to pick up my shotgun, which has been shipped off to me from Kentucky. I bought it online, right? got to go through a federal firearm licensed guy. This one happens to be at the pawn shop where we bought our big ass 65-inch TV a couple of weeks ago, right? So that's one good thing. Another good thing is, like, I've had a gripe at one of the supervisors for the past month. I was disrespected. I didn't like it, and I shut down, right? Which is kind of funny because one of the other supervisors, my actual supervisor, I was shamed in front of by both this other supervisor and then, to make matters worse, the manager, right? Public shaming happens in this place. It's happened to me several times now. And I ain't killed nobody yet. So I guess I won't be. But thank God I'm a Christian. Because that would be a potential. That would absolutely be a potential in these kind of situations. Nobody should be treated like a dog, you know? So anyway, in this shaming situation, I was basically told that I shouldn't be talking to nobody, not my supervisor, not nobody, when I got work to do, right? So you come to your job, you're not allowed to talk to nobody, you're not allowed to laugh, you just work, clock out, go home. And maybe you'll get your weekends off, maybe you won't, you never know until it comes around, right? I'm telling you the truth. I'm being honest with you. This person literally had me to where I'm not allowed to talk to even my supervisor on the job. But part of that whole shaming thing, like I said, it involved two people. So the other supervisor, I decided I'm not talking to that one either. Or listening to it, for that matter. So for a whole month, that went by. In a very tense situation, right? It just seemed to ratchet up more and more every single day. And it finally blew apart on that overtime Saturday, that mandated Saturday that I worked, you know. It had to. Communication had to happen. And once a little bit did, it all came out. We had to sit down for like 20 minutes, resolved everything, made everything right. This person had been a friend of mine and done me wrong. And I wasn't having it, just not having it. But that got resolved. So that's a good thing, right? That's one thing. And then another thing is that same day I had a conversation with another employee here, a younger guy who kind of opened my eyes about me and about other people. I don't think of it. You know, it's like we always have the worst perception of ourselves, right? We're always our worst critic. So I know my failings. I know my flaws in every area of my life. And if you ask me, could I be a better employee? There's room for that. I could really push harder and somehow be better at it. And that's what I'm cognizant of continually. And like I said, in all areas of my life. What I'm not cognizant of is the way other people are, right? And what I'm going to say is I'm talking to this guy, and he's like mentioning about like disciplinary action. All this discipline. This guy's got like this whole rap sheet of disciplinary action against him for being late, for this, for that. I didn't even know such a thing existed because I'm not involved with it because I don't require that. I've never been brought to discipline over it. I'm never late, right? I'm never late for that one thing. I got a clean record. I never even look at myself like that. I see all my failings. I see where I could do just a little bit more. But I don't see exactly how good of an employee I am, right? And so that was one element of the goodness that came out of it. Now we go back to that supervisor who I patched things up with. I was told that I'm a good, hard worker, right? That I get things done. That is the word of management. Not the manager, who would never pat you on the back because she's too busy kicking you in the dick, but somebody else in the management, right? So it's like, I'm basically an exemplary employee. I come in, I get my job done. I'm always here when I'm supposed to be. I'm always here on time. I do call out when I'm sick, and I do get my vacation time, you know? But otherwise, when you expect me here, I'm here unless I'm sick. Period. And I'm on time, and I'm working. And I get things done. I'm so used to not getting any appreciation from nobody. I'm so used to literally being pissed on. I clean a floor and then somebody turns around within 15 minutes and pisses on it. This is my life, right? Sometimes a little pat on the back goes a long way, right? So that was a good thing too. Now I'm starting to see about myself in relation to other people that I work with, that I'm actually a good employee. And, you know, something else that happened in that conversation is where I expressed the fact that first chance I get, first opportunity comes my way, I'm out of here. I'm not even going to debate it. I'm leaving. And I was asked, why? By management, right? By a supervisor. Why? And my answer was that this place simply has a bad vibe to it. I wasn't going to get into the details because I'm pretty sure at least 50% of everything that I said in confidence is going to go back to the manager anyhow. And I promised this particular item definitely did. Oh, you know, Maverick is going to leave us first chance he gets. Then what are you going to do? Because I happen to know there's examples locally in the area. This business operating in and around this area where my job has been, the powers that be are working to basically get rid of the work that I do and outsource it, right? The attritioning that's been happening in corporate America since the 80s, right? It became a new way of management to deal with their budget problems, is to cut staff and outsource. So that's what they're trying to do with the work that I do, right? And in other facilities, you know, the one really notable one, they had two people doing what I do. One of them finally quit, and the other one retired, right? So you had two people to do the job that I do. We used to have two people here also, but they had two people, and when they had nobody, they didn't even post a job to replace either of the two of them for like 2 years. And then when they did finally post it, they posted like 18 hours worth of work. They literally wanted to come, somebody come in, turn the garbages over and clean the bathrooms like 5 days or 6 days a week, you know, just come in every day for like 2 hours, 3 hours and just handle that, the filthiest of things, right? Instead of it being two full-time 40-hour a week jobs, they chiseled it down to that. And I don't think anybody ever took them up on it. So I don't, to this day, I don't think anybody's actually doing maintenance at that building. And that's what stands to happen the day I decide to leave here. And I know the manager knows that story. There's no telling what's going to happen when I walk out the door, right? And now, of course, here's another thing. Guess who's my buddy this week after all that torment from last week, right? And this is what this manager does, right? Like I said, it seems to make you happy when you've hurt someone. So she hurt me, and now she's happy. And then possibly she's heard that I intend to leave here first chance I get. And that chance can happen, right? And she could be, well, here's an F-bomb for you. Fucked. If that happens, this is another conversation I've had since Saturday with somebody, you know? I talked about how I just got screwed like I did. I got retaliated against like I did. Had my liberty trampled on like I did. And now this person turns around and pretends like nothing happens and is acting like my friend of all things when she is a mortal enemy. And that'll never go away. And yeah, don't you know? That's what she does. This is the report I'm getting from the rest of the state. That, yep, that's what she retaliates, and then she acts like she's your buddy like nothing happened. That is psychotic. That is crazy. This is what we're dealing with here? But I'm talking about the good things that come, right? There's this sense all week. It's Thursday by now, right? There's Thursday by now, second day of recording these episodes here. All week long, people are not throwing things on the floor. All week long, people are not really pissing on the floor. I almost don't have to clean anything. I'm not having to fix anything. People aren't slamming things and breaking things. It's almost like on a Saturday, having had observed me having to come in on my off day, did something to everybody here. Made them feel like guilty. And now this week, they're collectively attempting to not mess the place up and to not break things. Because it's been such an easy glide. I haven't had a week like this since I can't remember. Probably since the other dude was here, the two of us, right? Where it's just been, if I don't do anything, it doesn't really matter. Unexpected blessing. It's like I got this sudden sympathy. It's like I got some street credential because I have to come in on days, on weekends like they do. Very few people in this business get the whole weekend off. And I'm fortunate. Like I said, I quote unquote made my bones and I've got that, right? I'm senior at what I do. And that's just the way it works with seniority through the unions and all the agreements and all that stuff, right? So, yeah, the tone toward me has suddenly changed. I mentioned before about this list of people I pray for, all these disgruntled employees, you know. And you just hope that they don't have to be disgruntled anymore, that the situation can change. And guess what? I found out in the past, since Saturday, right? As soon as I left work Saturday, I ran into somebody out in the public arena, right? I went to a supermarket and this person was there. And then earlier this week, returning to the office, two people on my prayer list found other work and they will be leaving this shithole. Lickety split, right? Like really soon they'd be gone. One of them could be gone whenever, and the other one, they have to kind of make an agreement to release from this facility to go to another one. The other one is leaving the company entirely. Going off to a whole new life, a whole new career, and everything just worked out perfectly. Like a job across the street, or like $5 an hour more, you know? God bless that person. As much as he has and more, you know? Good. Good for these people to get out of here. Hopefully other people get out of here. For the rest of us, we are strengthened and encouraged continually to endure this. Honestly, this brutality, this bullying, this tyranny, this aggravation, someday it'll end. And we'll all be stronger for having had survived it. But until then, right? But yeah, the tone towards me has changed completely. I mean, management and labor alike. It's very peculiar, and I got to be honest, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Next time I walk into that damn place, it could be completely different, you know? It was last Thursday that I was mandated to come to work on Saturday. I'm expecting all day to have that happen again for no good reason. After this person just pretended to be buddy-buddy with me. This is how this place is. And you can never let off your guard around this piece of shit, right? Nonetheless, take this job and shove it, right? Take this job. And that's the Johnny Paycheck version of an old David Allen Coe song from, what was it, 77, I guess, 77. Very popular when it came out. Actually, Johnny Paycheck, his version of the song, his recording of it, came out first. And then with its popularity, David Allen Coe recorded it himself and released it like in 78. And then like, yeah, a couple of years later, they actually made a movie out of it, right? Take this job and shove it. And then even a few years after that, the Dead Kennedys, right? Punk rock band from the Los Angeles punk scene. They covered the song. They made a cover version of it. Yeah, but there's a movie, Take This Job and Shove It. I don't know if my wife and I watched it. I had it in mind to do. I don't know if we found it, we watched it, I might have fell asleep, it might have sucked. I don't know, this weekend I'm going to probably rent it, we'll try it again either way, right? Because take this job and shove it where the sun don't shine, you know? I don't care how smooth things have come out, I don't care how God has made lemonade out of the lemons. All this pisses me off and it's all bound to come around and happen again. I may get a break for a couple of weeks. Right, I honestly think this manager is operating off of some calendar where she's got to make sure that every so often, and I think like monthly or so, every single person has got to be messed with. There's this air of instability that just, it's like required for her to be able to function. I don't know. It's so bad. It's so weird. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here somehow. But anyway, yeah, Take This Job and Shove It movie. That's on the watch list for the weekend. Then probably get into that right after a little trip to the Texas Roadhouse. I already discussed this with my wife. We've got $90 left on her gift cards for the Texas Roadhouse. And Lent starts Monday. You know what? I'm going to get my ass a big old Texas T-bone and go out in style. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Post-Arlen Monologics. Further information involving this project and archived releases of Post-Arlen Monologics can be accessed over the World Wide Web at postarlen.com. Comments, critiques, and inquiries may be submitted to Maverick through email at maverick88@postarlen.com.